own scripture this morning. We are now in our third Sunday in the Gospel of Mark, which we will be studying and thinking about all the way up to Labor Day. And we are using these first 5 weeks to look at our values, our core values as a congregation through the story of Jesus that Mark tells. And so the first week after Easter, we did our primary and premier value, which is Christ-likeness. Because if a Christian church doesn't value that, well, they need to get a new name, right? Alexander the Great told his soldiers that. Last week, we looked at love, which is a natural outflow of Christ-likeness. Because a congregation cannot value following Christ if they don't also value love. Today we'll look at our third value, which is faithfulness. And so we're going to consider that, looking at a brief story from Mark's gospel. I invite you now to pray with me. Lord, thank you for the riches of your word. Thank you that though it is very old, it is ever new. Again, there are always more treasures and new treasures to be mined. And so we pray now, as we look at this little bitty scene, this little interaction between a leper and Jesus, that we will be open to expanding our understanding of what it means to be a faithful congregation. Only you can help us see and understand and then live into what we see in Jesus' life. And so we pray now, come Spirit of God, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not going to look at the scripture right yet because I want to kind of set the stage. So my question is, what does faithfulness look like? Right, if you were going to paint a picture or describe it, what does a faithful church or a faithful believer look like? Now, if we are going to understand the story we're going to look at today, we've got to understand what faithfulness in Jesus' day looked like. That's it. That's what faithfulness looked like in the day of Jesus. The religious leaders, who were called the Pharisees or separated ones, understood faithful to mean that you were being faithful, completely faithful and observant of all the written law of Moses and then the 600 plus laws that came from the rabbinic interpretation. The Pharisees, in their understanding to faithfulness, believed that they had to separate themselves from anyone who was not faithful to God's law or their interpretation of God's law. Their faithfulness was purely a matter of strict adherence to outward rules. And let me ask you a question. Is that attractive? Right? Is that a church you want to go to? I don't. I'll tell you that. So their understanding of faithfulness was rigid and legalistic, and we will see throughout Mark's gospel, heartless. But listen to what Jesus says about these faithful Pharisees. In Matthew 23:23, woe to you, cursed. Ooh, Jesus is using strong language. Cursed be you, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, and I'm all for tithing, let me say, but you have neglected important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You have rejected faithfulness. Their rigid practice of legal faithfulness is denounced by Jesus in the strongest terms. That is clearly not the type of faithfulness that we are called to. And so today in our little text, it's only three verses, Jesus and a humble leper, and I want to explain just about that language. Scholars don't believe it was really leprosy. It was an infectious skin disease of some sort, but we're going to call him a leper just to make it easy. Jesus and a humble leper provide for us perfect examples of a totally different kind of faithfulness. And I want to suggest that it is the kind of faithfulness that we need to embody if we are going to live into our third core value of faithfulness. So you may look on your sheet or you may look on the screen now as we watch this leper, this faithful leper. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. A man with leprosy came to Jesus, begging him and falling to his knees. If you are willing, you have the power to cleanse me. If you are willing, you have the power to cleanse me. Now, for those in Jesus' day, like the Pharisees, who thought that faithfulness only concerned strict adherence to the law of Moses, this man, with those words, if you are willing, you have the power to cleanse me, this man is showing himself to be completely unfaithful. Why? Tony, you can move to the next slide. Because when that man approaches Jesus and says, if you are willing, you have the power to cleanse me, he is breaking a boundary that the law set. Listen, in Leviticus 13, 45 through 46, the person with such an infectious skin disease must cry out, unclean, unclean. Did that man cry out, unclean, unclean? No, he didn't. He didn't say a word. He just came straight to Jesus. As long as he has the infection, he must live alone. He must live outside the camp. No contact with family, church, synagogue, temple, community. And so this man has broken the law. With simple trust, he says only, and you ought to know it, I've been repeating it over and over, if you are willing, you have the power to cleanse me. He shows his faithfulness by believing in Jesus' power to heal him, to cleanse him, to restore him to the community. Disobedient to the finer points of the law, but full of faith in Jesus, this unnamed leper is our first example of faithfulness. And notice how his faithfulness is completely free of demandingness or bossiness. If you are willing, Jesus. You have the power to cleanse me. I trust your power. Do what you will. God's kingdom has come in you. Your will be done. Complete trust, complete faith, and complete surrender. His example leads us to ask ourselves, are there situations in our church or in our lives where we are called to show such faith-filledness? If we truly value faithfulness, will we live that faithfulness out by believing in Jesus' power to restore our church, to restore our loved ones, to restore our community to wholeness, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, socially, communally? Because if we truly have that kind of faithfulness, we're going to do what that leper did. We're going to go talk to Jesus. We're going to go ask Jesus. We're going to trust Jesus to do his good will in our midst. This past Wednesday, a group of us gathered at 6:30 in Fellowship Hall, and we'll be gathering the next two Wednesdays at 6:30 to pray for this congregation. Last week, we prayed that we would live into love that we talked about last Sunday. This week, we're going to pray about how can we as a church show faithfulness to God. So I invite you to come to demonstrate your faithfulness by talking to the Lord on behalf of the church. By saying, if you're willing, Lord, you can restore us, bless us, use us, and make us faithful. So the leper comes in simplicity of faith, and Jesus responds now with a different and, for them, shocking demonstration of faithfulness. So let's move on to the second part of our text in Matthew 1, 41 to 42. Being indignant, and I don't have time to go into all the thoughts about why Jesus was indignant, but being indignant, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the leper. And Jesus said, I am willing. Be clean. Now, what's interesting here is that not only has the leper violated the Mosaic law by approaching Jesus without saying unclean, unclean, but here Jesus also jeopardizes his own ritual purity by touching the ritually unclean man. And so he now shares the man's uncleanness. Maybe we need to ask ourselves, what does Jesus' boundary crossing faithfulness, do you get it? He has stepped over a boundary set by law. What does his boundary crossing faithfulness teach us about living faithfully in the world? Now, if you remember back when I first started the series in Mark, I told you this, that in Mark's gospel, Jesus is on the move. The kingdom of God is on the offensive. It's pressing forward into the kingdom of darkness and sin, of evil and sickness. That's what Jesus' ministry is about. Instead of hunkering down in a defensive position like the Pharisees, instead of focusing on staying pure in obedience to God's law, Jesus goes on offense. I tried to figure out a way to put Peyton in here somewhere. His faithfulness to God is shown not by meticulous obedience to the law, but by responding faithfully to the needs of those around him with kingdom compassion and kingdom power. Becoming unclean is the least of Jesus' worries. This man's need for God's faithful kingdom love is what drives Jesus. Listen now to how my New Testament professor at Princeton, Dr. Brian Blunt, describes Jesus' boundary-crossing faithfulness. The Pharisees wanted to have the holy over here and the unholy over there, with a good buffer zone in between, for fear that the unholy folk would contaminate and mess up the holy folk. They never figured, like Jesus evidently figured, that the opposite might happen, that the pure might touch and cleanse the impure, that the people of the law might help the lawless see why the law had been established in the first place. Not to hurt, but to help. Not primarily to stop us from doing things to each other, but to start us doing things for each other. Can you tell why I love Dr. Blunt? Ugh. But Jesus did. That's why when Jesus touched the leper, he didn't get leprosy. The leprosy got transformed. Keep going. Now, Dr. Blunt has been a pastor and knows all about churches. We go crazy if someone changes the format of the Sunday bulletin. God forbid. Imagine what would happen if someone or a church touched by God on the loose, that's Jesus, right, tried to change the very way our church does church. Dr. Blunt is African American, so I'm going to say, can I get an amen? Amen. What if Christ-like faithfulness is more about going on the offensive, crossing boundaries to restore folks to wholeness in their relationships with God, self, others, than it is about holding ourselves up to protect ourselves from those whom we consider, in our infinite wisdom, unfaithful to God? What boundaries, even boundaries established by God's law, might God be calling us as a church and as individuals to cross in order to show hurting and lonely and isolated and outcast people the same kind of amazing faithfulness that Jesus showed? Some of you were around when we decided to launch Family Promise about 10, 15 years ago. It was a a ministry to screened homeless families. And so I and the Asbells went around to loads of churches in our community presenting this vision. And do you know what most of them said to us? We cannot have those people in our church building. Now, does that sound like the faithfulness of Jesus Christ? In his book, Love is an Orientation, a young evangelical named Andrew Marin tells of an experience he had that reminds me of Jesus' bold, boundary-crossing faithfulness. Marin was leading a Christian ministry on the streets in a large city in our nation. And he was approached by a young African-American man, 17-year-old, named Jamal. And so Jamal came up to him. He thought he was going to speak to him. Eventually, Jamal walked away. And Andrew Marin just stood there and waited. And a little while, the young man turned around and came back to him. And he came right up to me, Marin writes, and whispered with a deep southern drawl, "My name is Jamal, and I'd like to talk." And so they talked, and what Marin discovered was that Jamal was a prostitute, a male prostitute. And he had ended up in that position because he came from a family where there was an uncle who was a Christian minister. And all this Christian minister had to say to him was how awful he was. God hated him, right? And as he continued to talk to Marin, Jamal kept saying over and over, "My uncle is a minister in Mississippi, and I have problems with God. My uncle is a minister in Mississippi, and I have problems with God." And then Marin says that for the next 2 hours, I stood there with my arm around Jamal's shoulder. When he stopped talking, he realized that he had just spilled his guts to a complete stranger. He wrinkled his eyebrows, looked at me with a confused face, and asked if I was gay. I shook my head no, and he smiled. "I thought so, but I'm gay. Why are you even talking to me?" Marin finally told him that no matter what his problem with God was, all God wants is for us to turn to Him. And God promises to help us with our pain, our worries, our problems. And then he says, Jamal started to cry again and asked me to pray that he might learn to love God and that his pain might be taken away. And so he prayed for Jamal, and when we finished, Jamal wiped his face with his sleeve and said, "You have no idea what that means to me, mister. I'm going to call my uncle tomorrow and go to church. Maybe God doesn't hate me after all." Marin later writes, in explaining why he has moved his young family into Dogtown, which is the LGBT community in Chicago, "I look at relationships for gays and lesbians differently than most evangelicals. I view them as a wonderful opportunity to prove my faith, to demonstrate my faithfulness by reclaiming the word love as I live out what I believe in Christ. For Andrew Marin, the way he relates to those outside the camp is evidence of his faithfulness to God in Jesus Christ. What we must grasp is that a faithfulness that is devoid of boundary-crossing love is no faithfulness at all. And so we see that the faithfulness that Mark describes in this exchange between a leper and Jesus isn't a defensive, self-protective kind of faithfulness that walls us off from those supposedly faithless lawbreakers. That Pharisaical kind of faithfulness is not what our church or what our world needs. A scholar named Mark Strauss writes this about applying Jesus' example to the church. The church today should not take a defensive stance, cringing back in fear at society's defiling encroachment on our values and beliefs. Instead, we need to do what Jesus did. We need to go on the offensive, transforming the world with the unconditional and self-sacrificial love of God. Rather than complaining about the world's defilement, and boy, do I hear Christians complain, we need to restore the world to purity and wholeness by overcoming evil with good. That is exactly what Jesus does. That's the faithfulness on the offensive that the leper shows us. His faith in Jesus was so strong that not even a boundary set by the law was going to keep him from Jesus. And obviously, Jesus himself demonstrates the perfection of that kind of faithfulness on the offensive when he crosses a boundary set by the law in order to show the hesed of God, the ever faithful love of the Creator. May we as individuals and as a congregation be like the leper and like Jesus and show the world that kind of bold, boundary-breaking faith.